be circulated among members so that you can do additions and subtractions, so that when we deal with the matter on Tuesday, all those are taken into account. We welcome all our officials of the department and everybody who is here today. You are all welcome to the portfolio committee meeting on home affairs. I'm not sure, I think we will do our usual introduction, and the officials as well will introduce themselves. My name is Maggie Mawunye. I'm a member of the portfolio committee, and next to me it's Mr. Matonzi, who is our secretary, committee secretary, and we have Nandipa, who is also our support staff. We have Honorable Mpoha Siboni, a member of the portfolio committee. We have Honorable Graham McIntosh, who is also a member of the portfolio committee. May I then afford our officials the opportunity of introducing themselves. Let's start at the end then at this time. Hope that this also.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Susan Sos. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Intergovernmental Relations.
Chairperson and Honorable Members, I'm Robert Zita, the Acting Provincial Manager in Mpumalanga.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Mlingo Nimili Namucheli, Director of Finance and Support Service from Mpumalanga.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Mpho Moloi, Acting Provincial Manager for Gauteng. My official designation at the department is Chief Director for Standard Management.
Good morning, Madam Chair in the House. My name is Mchori Sen Flora Muditi. I'm the Provincial Manager for Home Affairs.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and the House and colleagues. My name is Machaya Tupenbiu, Director of Finance and Support in Limpopo. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Masipo Kanya from IGR. Intergovernmental Relations at Home Affairs.
Thank you, Honorable Members, our officials. We will then continue with our meeting because we don't have much time today. We will actually want to finish our meeting at lunch so that the members can and all the officials can get home as quickly as they would love to. Others are connecting. I'm sure Limpopo will be connecting and Mpumalanga. So it would be good if we could finish our meeting before the lunch time. I'm not actually pressing that to be quick, no. Let's be quick, but deal with issues that are important to be dealt with. And I afford Limpopo.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And we know that
we have a PM.
PMG.
Yeah, PMG as well. You are welcome.
Thank you once more. Our presentation is long, but some of the information is just background for information. We are going to zoom into the slides that are critical and important for this presentation. As you can see, slide 1 and 2, 3 is the content, and then slide 5 is introduction and background. It's about the province as a whole. What I can say there is that we still don't have an office in Akrang local municipality. As we all know that we have tried to align our structure to the provincial structures. And we still don't have an office again in Elias Motsoaledi, but unfortunately, last month an office was approved for Elias Motsoaledi, and needs assessment has been submitted to commence building the office. And those are the statistics about the provincial demographics in Limpopo. Capricorn and Bembe are still leading in terms of population. And then in number 7, that is our map, our offices, the ones in yellow, they are the provincial, the district offices where the DMO, the director for the district sits. And the structure, the provincial manager's office is capacitated, and we do have the provincial coordinator now. When it comes to the DMOs, Capricorn is we have Mr. Masaung, who is still deployed in KZN, Mrs. Mwane is still acting in Mopane. We have appointed Mrs. Ndukwana as the DMO. She started last week Monday. In Sikukuni, we have Mrs. Rake, she's still acting in Vembe. Mr. Zamba Maluleka is still acting. And in Waterberg, we have appointed Mrs. Machala, and we have Director Finance, Mr. Machala. And those are the number of offices we have per district and the number of courts. And in Vembe, we have 13 offices, 1 refugee center, and 3 ports of entries. And the biggest 8 ports of entries for Vembe. And those are offices, the names of the offices, where they are located. And that is the footprint for Home Affairs. And then we also have the number of hospitals that you took in Capricorn, we have 10, in Waterbank we have 7. In Sikukuni we have 8 hospitals that are connected. In Mopane we have 10 hospitals that are connected. In Vembe 6 hospitals that are connected. And only 11 hospitals have a permanent capacity. And all other hospitals, we visit them regularly to collect applications. And we have 16 mobiles in the province. Since the beginning of this year, we've been installing new satellite dish. Most of our mobiles are now functional. We are now using them to collect applications and delivering IDs. Slide 17, we start with our provincial, with our targets for Limpopo. I will skip the overview, executive summary, because we also discuss the challenges and what can be done to mitigate those challenges. Regarding beds, for this set, our annual target is 63,159. Quarter one, we targeted 15,304, and the actual achievement for quarter one was 19,219. And those are the numbers of beds per district. Performance is on track here. What we have noted is that we still have quite a number of beds that are registered after in one day. Although we do not have a target for late registration because we're not targeting to raise the beds after 31 days, we do get numbers of beds that are registered from 31 days to 14 years. The total number that is registered for the quarter is 14,473. We have, for this financial year, we are going to register 7 additional health facilities in Limpopo. For quarter one, there was no target whatsoever, but the provinces, districts will be connecting, Sikukuni will be connecting a hospital during the second quarter, then three hospitals during the second quarter, Capricorn, 3 hospitals, Waterberg, 3 hospitals, and then those are the names of the hospitals that will be connected. Stakeholder programs launched, all stakeholders were launched, district trust, district 25, local municipalities, and the provincial. Those are the numbers under slide 30 of the stakeholder programs that are functioning. We've had problems with the functioning of the stakeholder programs because in some instances when you send out an invitation, members don't attend. As we target for late registration of office application to process, that is the collecting and submitting to head office for 50 years and older, we have achieved. Those are the numbers we have registered for first quarter. We have registered applications received was 1,582. Number of prints, offering a print received back from head office, 1,315. Number of applications referred to inspectorate. This is where we are not sure whether the applicants have given us authentic information or what they are telling us is true. It's 44. And ID numbers created by head office after submitting our applications for LRB is 580. The volume of application for late registration of beds that is received in Limpopo is still high. Not half of the applications were finalized in head office. Although LRB cases have to be scrutinized to care when corruption charges need to be streamlined to reduce the processing period because it's still too long. When it comes to South African learners 16 years and above issued IDs, we have achieved. We have 16 mobiles visiting the high schools to collect those applications. And when it comes to matriculants, we try by all means that by April, all IDs that were applications, when we receive applications, we manage to deliver ID applications. And if we are late, it has to be by June because matriculants start the exam preparing for their exams in March, April. Those are the numbers of school visits that were done by our mobile. And then the quarter one target was 537. And then for April school visits was 103. Learners, April 2013, learners applications collected 1,685. And in May school visits was 257. And the learners applications collected was 5,096. And then in June is 155. And then applications collected for 2,053. Actual school visits was 525. ID learners issued, IDs issued to learners. Those are the numbers per district. In April, we issued 36, in May, 280, in June, 686. So actual performance of the one is 1,002. 100% of African learners 16 years above issued with IDs in the province. This is the case where applications are collected and delivered. 167 schools as we visited during the month of June to achieve the target of 537. Then, and Mopani districts are performing poorly. This may be due to lack of proper management in place. In Mopani, the DMO started last Monday, and in November we still don't have a DMO. The DMO for Mopani started on February 2013, and the new DMO started in June 2013. April Capricorn applications that were better is 28. Those are the numbers, and I won't go through them. A projected 133,706 identity documents issued to citizens 16 years of age and above. In this case, we didn't achieve. We don't have control over people who come and apply for ID. In what institution we received 7,420 applications. What are they? 3,979, Capricorn 7,128, Mopani 7,069, and then 7,800. A projected 18,945 ID applications collected and processed in front offices. So instead of collecting 3,526. So I think we aimed too high for collections of ID applications in this case. ID collection. Opening balance for the month of April, we had 22,243. IDs received from head office, 18,277. Total IDs received on head, 14,520. IDs issued, 18,007. IDs on hand, not to 2 months, 14,215. IDs on hand, 3 to 6 months, 7,088. IDs on hand, month end, just been 1,303. And then those are the numbers for May and June. I don't know if I have to go through them, but for the record, those are the numbers that we have in our offices. 100% identified ID duplicate cases resolved. Multiple persons sharing same ID number. We did not achieve in this case. The problem that we have is that people are not coming forward to inform us about the duplicity of their IDs. So even if we go there, people are not willing to give us that information. We're still having problems. Only the percent of 85 cases have been resolved regarding the duplicate ID. And then ID duplicate cases resolve one person with multiple ID numbers. Even in this case, we have not achieved. People are not willing to hand over the other ID because you have to come and declare and then you allocate just one ID and transfer the other. People are coming forward. 50% of ID duplicate cases resolved. This is one person with multiple IDs. So those are the numbers per district. Total, we have 37 applications, 190, and those that are analyzed, it's 7%, 29%. For 2012, for the quarter one, we refurbished one office in Buwani. The target was Buwani, however, we refurbished Buwani, Mujajisof, and Mangwin. We have achieved in this case. And then there are three offices that are identified in the POPO for smart card issuance. James Fett, local office, has been identified. We are ready to install the booths for live capture. Polokwane is also ready. Inspections are done. It has space to install those booths. And then local office is also was identified and is ready to install those booths so that we can do live capture. A new offices, we don't have a target for Impopo. However, last month we got an information that Pukuni district will get a new office in Marble Hall. That's why we needed an office the most in Impopo. It's Akana and Marble Hall. It has been approved. It's overachievement. We didn't target anything because when we requested the budget, we were not allocated any budget. So it was a surprise and a good surprise for us to know that we are getting a new office in Marble Hall. Then all applications that are received in the offices must be put on check and trace within the same day. The target for Limpopo, we said it's 3 working days. We found that 1 working day is not actual in the sense that when mobile come back from collecting applications, they sometimes come after hours. So they cannot be unable to put those applications on check and trace. So we give a mobile chat and other offices 3 working days to put the applications on check and trace. We have achieved it. ID applications registered on check and trace at 5 offices in Limpopo. The target for quarter one is 3 working days. We have achieved this because this for the same reasons of delays by mobiles and offices that don't have check and trace system. Even for the issues, still 3 days. Passport applications still are within targeted period in the province. For quarter one, passport applications are shut within two working days in the province. Actual, we have achieved, we do that within 2 days. On average, to compare the statistics for all the offices in the province. Passport and travel documents, those are statistics for tourist passports, child passports, official passports, multi passports. Number of temporary passports applied for, and number of emergency travel passports issued by the province. Even capturing of passports in the province is within 1 day. We have achieved this. Permanent residence permit applications in the province collected and forwarded to head office. We have given ourselves 2 days. We'll also give other officers who receive the permits who don't have check and trace at least another day to go to another office to capture this information or who don't check and trace. Temporary residence permit. Target for quarter one is 2 working days to put on check and trace. Employers are successfully charged in the province. The annual target is 42 employers. Quarter one, 9 employers charged. Mopani, 1, Capricorn, 2, Waterbeck, 2, Sipukuni, 1, and Vele, 3. Quarter one, actual numbers charged is 9 employers. Transgressors of departmental legislation charged. Our target was 738 transgressors of departmental legislation. We have achieved this. We have 2,612 offenders recorded. 407 they went to Lindela, and then 2,205 into a bit of direct deportation. The high number of offenders comes from via Musina, and the deportations or arrests are happening in Baybridge and Musina office. That's where we get this high number. So I think even our target in this case has to increase because in other provinces, when you compare the statistics, they didn't have this high number of transgressors. But in Limpopo, it's easy to go up to the 5,000 people being arrested, especially during the pre-period of the festive season and Easter. Undocumented foreigners deported within 30 calendar days. We have achieved this. The quarter one, we targeted, we arrested 2,205, and all of them were deported within 30 days. Cases referred to inspection completed in 28 days. We normally refer cases like late registration of birth, investigation on authenticity of applications. This we didn't achieve within the 10 working days. The problem is in Sikukuni, we had a serious shortage of immigration officers, but we have managed to appoint quite a number of immigration officers for Sikukuni area. Percent of first instance data determination finalized within 3 months in the refugee center. This we have achieved. Whenever you come and apply for permit at a refugee center, we have no option but to issue with a permit. Those are the numbers of permits issued per month in the refugee reception center. Project on fraudulent marriages established. This we targeted 10 marriages. However, we managed to do 8 marriages in the province. Average time customers spend in queues. For BMD, for birth, marriage and death IDs and passport is 33 minutes on average. For permitting is 40 minutes. For port of entry, the airport is 15 minutes. For port of entry, land port, lake bridge and those other 7 other ports, land ports, it's 40 minutes. Section 22 permits, that is the refugee center, the average time, queuing time is 2 hours. Outreach programs conducted in the province to assist with death registration and ID collection with a focus on marginalized areas. Outreach not part of normal program of the province. However, we targeted 4 one-per-quarter and we had a high impact outreach program in Sikukuni from the 3rd to the 12th of June. Those are the statistics for Waterbeck High Impact Outreach Program in Sikukuni. It was a great success, and we were very happy with this. Although the budget that is required, it was too little. We needed more money because we spent about 12 days in this area. Officers staying there, all mobiles deployed in that area, and the counselors, CDWs were deployed. They were staying with our officers, and they were delivering IDs. It was a great success, especially working with the chiefs in that area. Exhibitions that we've had, those are the exhibitions that we do besides the high impact service delivery in the province. We define high impact service delivery as being in an area for no less than 5 days, not coming back to the office, making sure that you service that area fully. So, but these ones are 1 day, two or three days, less than 5 days. On Mandela Day, we identified an orphanage and a preschool and ended up painting it. This is just for interest's sake. We end up painting a preschool and buying a carpet when we found children. You see the photos where we found children that were sitting on the floor, and it's winter. I'll hand over to Mr. Machai regarding the member for the panel.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and the House. Allow me to present the status of affairs on HR and finance of the province. I'll start with the human resource. The staff capacity, as our my boss have indicated, is currently in the province with the establishment of 104, and the vacancy there is 33%. Okay, if everything has been filled, then what I will do, I will read the field and the vacant the percentage, so that at least I will do just the presentation. Then in the Capricorn district as a whole, not mention specific offices, with 160 posts that are currently filled with the vacant funded of 16. Okay. Then if all the posts are filled, the vacancy of 16 will gonna have a capacity of 61. Then going to Mopane with all its offices, we have filled 137 out of 248 with vacant funded posts, which we are in the process of filling them, of 15. Okay, if all the posts are filled, we're going to have a capacity of 61%. Going to Sikukuni, inclusive of all its offices, we filled 32 out of 193 post, or a vacant funded post of 20. If all the posts are filled, we can have a capacity of 48%. Then go into Waterberg District, inclusive of all its offices. We filled warm bodies of 101 out of 227, vacant funded 18, which are the process of filling them. If all the posts which are vacant funded are filled, we're going to have a capacity of 52%. Then going to Weber, we filled 191 out of 606 with a funded vacant of 51. If all those posts are filled, we're going to have a capacity of 73%. Basically, this let's talk the summary of what I just presented above. Okay. As a whole, as a province, we have capacity of 61%. Whether that's good or bad, but at least some people work on. Okay. On the target that we, the department have set the province to say all the vacant funded posts must be filled within a period of 6 months, we have partially achieved. Okay, we've targeted the D8 vacant funded post to be filled within a period of 6 months, but we managed to fill the D6. Though it's not bad, but we can still do more. Then, of course, analysis of those targets as per district to say, in April, we have a total of 14 posts. Okay, that was there with the breakdown, which I won't book at the house by going into details. Okay, because all the notes come out to say, we targeted the gate and managed to fill 36. That one is just a breakdown of all the posts and indicated the office thereof. Of course, we are in the process of filling those posts. At least the recruitment drive is on. And then basically that is just indicating, given the trend analysis of the capacity, those years 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, to say at least the staff capacity is increasing. Currently, we are at 828 as compared to where we started 2010-2011, where we 774. Okay, but to just give a member snapshots on the resignation of quarter one, how many people have resigned? We have two, those who were dismissed, we have three. Transferred to into provinces from OSHA placement, our people know the project, we have 12 of them on quarter one. Of course, others that did came second quarter and whatever. Appointment first quarter, we've managed 36, which I've already alluded to. And the termination due to promotions, of course, people, they must also reach out to green pastures. We have six of them. Okay. The issue of the staff capacity I was talking about to say, how many posts are vacant, how many should be filled, basically the slide talks about, to say, the, in terms of our target. The capacity I was talking about is 61%. So these are the posts that are currently vacant funded, 125. With the demarcation to say from civic, immigration, civic with 54, immigration service with 56, support service with 40. Members of the can see that we are on the drive, at least to capacitate inspectorate, as we have realized that the sellers need on that respect. Again, basically, that's a comment to say 6% of interview finalized. And currently the drive is on finalizing the submissions, though we do have challenges. So say before we appoint, we must first get the near post, which in time to time will normally have delays, but of course that is work on progress, constantly communicating with them. And the others where the recommended candidate will have negative credit records, criminal records, which we still have to work on it, whether to determine if people are quotable or not before we can actually issue an appointment letter. Those, of course, they do cause delays. In terms of our implement equity target, as our national target to say, we must appoint 2% of people with disabilities. Of course, we do have a buy-in to that idea. As a province, we are at 1.8 of the 2%. And we are saying, of those vacant funded posts of 2025, when everything is, when all the posts are filled, at least we're able to meet the target and possibly exceeding that target. Okay? But basically that's the demographic vis-a-vis the DHA workforce, say of the colored, we have at least 0.2 representation, African 96.29 representation, white 3.0 representation, Indian 0.1 representation. I'd like to put this to the house to say there are times where we set a target to say we need to have people, I mean, from different races, sometimes not possible to get those people. For example, you say you want to have a candidate from Indian race. Those people that are not actually applying, you say the same applies to white. Oh, who are not interested. Sometimes we do the hard hand so that at least we can be able to have them representing as part of our establishment. But of course, strategies have been devised how better we can recruit those people. In terms of our 50-50, though the 50-50 applies to LMS, but as a province, we we'll say 52.69 our lovely females vis-a-vis us who are at 47.3. We say we don't want to reduce that to the ask to go 30%. We'll do that if in a situation permits. Okay. Then the issue of your performance management development, we say we have 876 of people who have actually signed the performance agreements. There are others which are actually abstaining because they have lodged their grievances on that regard. And others are just newly appointed. Of course, within 3 months, they will have already signed the performance agreement. Just to indicate the annual assessment for 2012-2013, 99% of those people have assessed, and they will be rewarded according to their performance. The 1% which is still outstanding is two cases of people have lodged grievances until they finalize them, won't be part of the statistics. Then the same goes to say people who are absenteeism and performance management. To say number of employees who are using our pillar as an indication to say there are challenges, there are problems. We have 11. And of course, the total number of days were taken 249. In terms of percentage, that's 1.3%. Of course, most of these cases, they need management interventions where there are cases, you know, which were referred and not actually approved. As the reasons advised are not, you know, credible, then as a province, we are currently working on them to address the transit employees so that they are productive. That's why the last column indicates the average days paid employees, which is basically 40. Of course, we are saying we don't just appoint people, we make sure we do train them, do capacity them, to make sure at least they are on par. Of course, the table indicates to say the level of qualification that our employees do have. As you can see, the external people are advising to post grad honors. The department do offer bursaries to those people so that at least we can continuously, you know, capacitate them. Those are just some of the training that the province do assist in offering, especially of skills gaps, which will identify financial skills, report writing, and business report writing skills. Of course, after we've identified that people are always upset, we come with mechanisms to address them with the issue of absenteeism training, new management program, especially the middle management, and the grievance procedures to avoid issues where cases are just normally referred to our labor relations without managers being addressed them at the first point of contact. Okay? Then, of course, the issue of corruption. To say we are the process of eradicating corruptions. So of course, we do have a database of people who actually charge in the province and what kind of conduct is there and what sanctions were actually imposed. As you can see, the nature of the economy, most of them is fraud and corruption and bribery, so the nature of home affairs as is. But of course, ruthlessly so, we're busy rooting out corruptions. Okay, most of them, the sanctions dismiss us. Then of course going to say, of course, to achieve most of those you need budget, you need resources. Then as a province, basically last year we have 202 million, then of that we spent 287 million. In terms of percentage, we spent 98%. Then I strongly believe it's a money well spent on the issue of service delivery. The 2% is because of commitment, those orders that were actually that could not be at the end of financial year for various reasons, especially orders be placed at the last end, especially the travel arrangements. For this quarter currently, we were given a budget of 279 million, we spent 55,897 million. Then, at the time of reporting, we were supposed to spend linear projections, 25%, we're at 23%. Of course, the main contributor is, you know, those posts that were actually, I say, were in the drive of filling them. lower limit of the magma, 1.3%. But we are just a linear projection, but we are still on track. Okay. Then to say, as our presenter said, to say all the invoice must, all the service providers must pay within 30 days of rendering the services. We are still on course, 93% of that has been paid. Because the challenge is to realize service providers, they do supply invoices which are not in compliance. Of course, we must balance the issue of compliance vis-a-vis your target. Okay? They are basically just a breakdown terms of our district on how do the actual perform. As I've already alluded to those issues, to say sometimes service providers are not actually compliant in terms of submitting all the necessary documentation for us to effect payments. Of course, we are one of the highest contributing departments to our coffers in terms of revenue. Last financial year, we've managed to collect 51,497,000. And for this quarter, we've collected 14,819,000 was still on course. Saying if you just multiply that at the remainder of the month, take into account this quarterly report, at least you can see was long course. Of course, we do have been tasked with the responsibility to manage our resources in terms of assets. As a province, we have total assets of 1,367 to the value of actually, we have 15,604 to the value of 58 million. Okay. Then, of course, our role will be to verify them to make sure they are in a good state, which, of course, we do a total verification in the process, though the AG will again audit in due course. Other resources that we are trying to manage is the issue of our provincial fleet. To say the number of vehicles in the province, not of course including the mobile office that is already indicated above, we have 169. We did receive new vehicles last one shall be 28. Of course, there will be times where they are in repairs, they are sent to the garage for whatever various reasons, but mostly we do have those vehicles across for various different months. But the challenge, though, we do have enough vehicles, the fact that most of those vehicles are very old, 10 to 12 years. That's the reason why we have embarked on the process of replacing them gradually. That's why we received 28, because we can't have a one paying approach. But on the process, we can have five cars so that we can replace the old aging one, as they are taking lots of money in terms of repairs. Okay? That's just to say, on average, we're spending 600,000 as a province. Of course, we have made an undertaking to empower our youth. We do have a youth program within the department. Then as a province, we are supporting that course, where, of course, one of the activities that the youth have embarked on is the issue on the frame of education and training, where they embarked on the issue of dialogue to engage with the other youth of other departments and discuss issues that concern them. Okay. And of course, the issue of your sports day, the youth are more involved on that. Okay. And of course, today they are also involved. When we are in our men's health day today, they will be forming part in that, assisting the delegates over there. Okay. Basically, as my program manager has indicated, for what we plan as a province for Mandela Day, when she said the picture will be followed in due course, those are the pictures of what we've done on the pressure. Okay. Yeah, basically we did provide a match. There was nothing there and it was cold. That's basically that what we've done as a province. Of course, given more resources, we could have done more. But that's what we've done out of our heart and based on the resources that are available. Execution of the project, approximately 30 officials from district. Basically, he talked to exactly what we done during Mandela Day. There was a delegation from Akana municipalities, Colonel Madikoko, and other councillors were part of the delegates while we were celebrating Commonwealth Mandela Day. As I've already alluded to the fact, the carpet was officially handed over to the priest school principal. And more importantly, we did paint the wall outside. Okay, those are some of our officials who were there. Probably so, heavily so. Yeah. Of course, this will be circulated for the members who see at the hospital. Then achievements. In terms of human resource at the ports of entry, especially our biggest port, land ports, Bainbridge, we have appointed 42 officials. There's another 11 ports that will go to fill now, before the end of the month probably. And in all ports of entry, Kiriondo, we did appoint 2 crowbars, Bragg, 2 Zanzibar, 1. Okay. What actually has improved in terms of service delivery, that will go a long way. The outreach program, high-impact service delivery, as PM has indicated, we want to water back and become a success. Of course, partnership with other government departments, collaboration in common projects, with the department by having some projects, especially education jamboree, we're also there. The COP in Skukuni, we're also part of that. Okay? Deportation of illegal immigrants. As they talked about, I get to say we've managed to deport 2,612 illegal foreigners. Okay. Other achievement which I proudly want to say at least above 90% of all invoices are paid within 30 days. Okay. And I would tell the fact that training is normally conducted across the state of our staff, especially the newly appointed Bainbridge. We didn't just appoint them and throw them in the deep end. We did provide training. Hold them on hand and taking them through. Of course, in doing that, one of the challenges which are there, we are working on them. The other one, which is actually amendment and rectification cases, where the challenge is that applications normally take too long to be resolved. As such, our clients out there, they lose confidence in us, saying we are taking long to resolve those cases. As such, most of those cases they ended up in the media. But of course, we have dedicated team to respond to those issues so that we can improve on our turnaround time, giving update all the time. The issue of uncollected ID, as we've already seen on our target, to say, of course, we do have IDs which are not actually collected, even though after the SMS is sent out for those owners to come and collect. Okay, the stay long, of course, that is prone to issue of corruption and what have you. But of course, we do have projects, work on that. As and when we go to your high-impact service delivery, those are some of the issues that we normally do. Take the application or the ID related to those areas, we manage to distribute those areas. Okay. The other challenges due to floods is the temporary closure of our perforated border posts. Okay. Where if it rains and it's flooding, the area gets flooded and it's no longer accessible. We can't even render service from that. Also, in the process of, say, getting a permanent solution, where at least we will have a park home which is a little bit higher, going forward long term, at least we have indicated to construct a proper a building that can be able to stand those lots. The other one is office accommodation, especially at our ports of entries and other offices which are not in compliance with the OHS in terms of our disabilities requirements. But the more pertinent one is the ports of entry, where the accommodation is not there. And those people, some of them, they are far outskirts. It's not easy for them to travel to town where you can just get accommodation. As a province, of course, we do take initiative to request needs assessment. Okay? And the closure of Ilium due to miscommunication between the landlord and the public works, where we could not at least acquire space in time. But of course, we started with the process, the performance action on that has already been issued out, or at least that we're going to head that office again. The issue of temporary and permanent residence permits, which has been indicated, is still a challenge on us in terms of our turnaround time. We're taking forever to be issued with that. And the other issue, certification of the temporary residence permits, stickers and PR certificates. Other issues, challenges we're having, the electricity. There are areas where we would love to, offices operate effectively and with free disruption, but due to electricity issues, sometimes not possible, especially the issue of the theft of the cables. we can't even access the internet, you can't even connect. Okay. That's a picture of our high pixel device that we under to in Water Bay District. Okay. It was, of course, a good success. We're going to check the same success and emulate that other district as everyone will go to school in August. I hope that I'll be. Yeah, we've just come to the end. Very, very long presentation. I just remember to still listen. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a very long presentation. Honorable members, that was a presentation from Kokome. I noticed your hands. Honorable McIntosh, Honorable Kasuboni.
Thank you, Ms. Mortiti. That was very good, and thank you, sir. That was a very long presentation, but I must say you went through it quite quickly, relatively speaking, and thank you for skipping some of the stuff, which is obvious. I've got one or two comments and one or two questions, or more than one. Madam Chair, now two of our provincial managers here are Hollywood managers. They're acting, Ms. Mortiti, not. And I noticed, though, that quite a few people in her department are also acting. Look, I know there's nothing to do about it, and that's a problem, but you know, I think people work better if they know they have a permanent job. So I just want to make that point. Just some comments. The HF staff and DOH network, could you just explain to me what those stand for, HF and DOH? I presume DOH is Department of Home Affairs, I don't know. Then, if I look at the mobile, there's 16 mobiles, only 4 are fully functional. Now, I understand the mobiles can still do good work, but if their satellites aren't working, they can't immediately process the application, so they come in after hours and they do them the next day and you explain that. But if you could explain to me why we can't get, say, at least 14 of the 60 in good working order, and often it's just a generator for the power. And they also mentioned power failures, and then you explained at the end it's because apparently there's cable theft. Of course, crime affects us in every way. Then on the late registration of births, the LRBs, and you mentioned that there are quite a few people who are sort of teenagers coming for LRBs. I would just like to know, how do you generally assess the validity of the LRB in the sense that where they were buried, is it use a baptismal certificate, or what do you do? Does the traditional leader speak to it? Now then on page 35, you stress 100% of South African learners. I mean, how many non-South African learners are there, and how do you distinguish? You know, it's presumably the school teachers know, no, that kid's a Zimbabwean, or that kid is from Congo. But how do you actually know? It interests me. I want to ask you, you mentioned the problem with multiple and other IDs. Now, in evidence yesterday from your other colleagues in other provinces, they said they find that some of these people don't want to bring in those duplicate IDs because they, as we say in isiZulu, they're hiding in some way and they're trying to get it. What is your view, Ms. Mutsitsi, on this plan which the minister is talking about and the department to block duplicate IDs? And how do you think that's going to impact you in Limpopo? Then the question of training. You mentioned training a few times, and then you're doing a smart cart rollout training on page 50. Could you just tell me, how do you train? Do you have a training centre? Does Pretoria send guys or girls from head office to come and do the training? I'd just be interested to know, when you talk about training, who handles the training? Then on page 59, the number of temporary passports. I see 25% virtually of the passports you issue are temporary. One just worries that that's a loophole. It's just an excuse that we could perhaps just explain to us. And then I was very interested in the statistic and also impressed on page 78 of how many time people spend in queues. And I must say it's not that much time. But what interests me is how do you measure it? I mean, how do you know If I stand in a queue that I'm in the queue for 20 minutes or 15 minutes, I'd be interested to know that. And then the permits are very long. I see it's 180 minutes. That's 3 hours, although you put 2 hours in brackets. And look, I don't want to get confused in all these human resources things, but I was just a bit puzzled because on page 98, we are told that there were 876 performance agreements signed, and yet for this year, this financial year, there are only 828 posts. So I don't know why there are more performance agreements than there are posts approved. And then quite a lot of those 820 posts aren't filled. So look, I don't think we need to go into it, but there's a certain contradictions, if one wants to put it that way, in those numbers, because they don't seem to agree. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable Khasiboni. Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable McIntosh has covered me on some of the questions that I intended to ask. But then again, on slide 98, the resignations and the dismissals, and what I'd like to find out is the reasons for resigning and why were people dismissed, and were they just dismissed or dismissed and shushed? And again on Tafuri border post, are there no activities at all taking place at that border post? Is it guarded? But if it is not guarded, are there no chances that people may take advantage and cross there illegally? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The OSHA placement, is it the OR Tafu one?
Oh, because I was wondering what are we talking about.
But there's this issue of Elim Hospital, Elim Office. I don't. In fact, I think those people are using the tent to work. It's true, because what needs to be done was saying the requests have been made to head office to replace the tents with our homes. Does it mean those people are working under tents? How long has this office been closed? And why are there no other means that you can do to ensure that there is an office operating at Elim? Men, tourism and entertainment should to respond to the question posed by members.
With regard to the issue of managers acting in Limpopo, that would be Sikukuni, Mopani, and Sikukuni Vembe, and Capricorn. We have interviewed, a candidate have worked for competence assessment. The process is that we have two interviews. The final interview is chaired by the Deputy Director General Head Office. So we will be interviewing them before the end of this month. So progress has been made with regard to the appointments of management in the province. HS is a hospital facility. We are no longer we are not just connecting hospitals, it's health facilities. We are also looking into connecting clinics. We want to extend our catchment areas to clinics, and that's why now we call it health facilities. Department of Health, when we do negotiations, we sometimes use their network system to connect our systems at hospitals. If we can't use that network or they don't have network, we use a 3G. So it's Department of Health. Mobile offices, for quite some time, I think since I've been in the Popo, there's only one mobile office that has been working. However, the department, since the beginning of this year, has taken a stance to remove the old satellite dishes, install new equipment in the mobile offices. So the process started in January, and it's work in progress. So we are improving, and until our IT official sign off the repairs, we say it's still functioning. We want to sign it off and be happy that it's working. The problem in Popo is a mobile will be fixed and repaired in Polokwane. When you take it to a rural area, it doesn't connect. But now we wait until we take it to that rural area to confirm that it is fully functional. So that's why we say fully functional. But if the mobile is available, we still use it and collect applications. But we are on track. And the idea was that all of the mobiles will be connected by the end of this month, of July. LRB applications. We normally request LRB now in Home Affairs is defined as any birth that is registered after 31 days. 31 days to 14 years, it's still a normal birth. When you come in, we can register you on the spot. However, after 14 years, we would need a letter from the school, a baptismal certificate, a letter from the chief. And what we do with that information, now that we've given information, we give it to immigration to go and verify that information. And because they are experts in a field of determining whether a person is a South African or a foreigner, they are the ones that sit in the committee and engage and question the applicants. It's not a foolproof because if you've had a person who's been in the country for 20 to 30 years, obviously you cannot determine whether the person is a foreigner because even the accent, the surnames, everything, they contribute towards a final decision. 100% cleaner. Initially, our target was that every matriculant that is writing exams must have an ID. We have shifted the time. We used to say by June, but now it's by April. Once them when they register for their exams, matriculant exams, they have an ID. What we do, we communicate with the Department of Education to give us all the names of all the matriculants that are registered and the ID numbers, and we identify those who don't have ID numbers, and then we target those that don't have ID numbers. So if we had 5,000 matriculants and only 80 don't have, that is our 100%. So we'll say 100% learners have received their IDs, or maybe have been issued with the ID, or we have collected applications. We look at those that don't have IDs. 100% South African learners is because when we go to schools, we still find learners who are not South Africans. And also, we still find our learners who don't even have study permits. So in some instances, like with the LSU, we have a relationship where we engage them that they should rectify the situation. They cannot continue keeping students without a study permit in the country because they are illegal. And we explain the process. We started by educating the school official because you'll find that the parents would have a work permit for them to, but there was no study permit or any work permit for the child who is in school. Duplicate IDs. People are not coming forward. Obviously, in most cases, we found people who have acquired those IDs fraudulently. So if you say they must surrender the ID, they wouldn't come. And most of the people, we find those cases in Easter and December, when people go back home. You'll find a parent using a Zimbabwean passport going back, and then when you look at the children, they are using a passport for Zimbabwe, and we confiscate them. However, that has been a process, the DZP process, that took place in Home Affairs. Where the Zimbabweans were saying, oh yes, we have a situation. I did acquire this ID fraudulently, and I have a house, I have a car, many things are registered to this ID. If I surrender it, what can you do for me to be able to keep those things? So this is a process that is being handled by head office, not as a province. But with us, we just implement the policies and get direction from head office. So those have been problems where people are not coming forward. Whoever comes forward will tell you that I've been to Pretoria where I wanted to surrender, but I can't surrender. My ID, my passport, they are linked to this ID. So what can you do for me so that at least I can be able to keep? That is a major problem in Groblersdrecht, where we confiscated many passports, but eventually when we asked for direction, it was something that is still in discussion. And the Inspectorate General Office is dealing with it.
But on the question of blocking, the department is going to block these IDs. So anybody who's got multiple IDs, and it's not necessarily fraudulent, I'm sorry, Madam, it's not necessarily fraudulent, it's really a function of the old homelands, because sometimes Transkei and they issued their own, the independent ones, and the Leboa and Giani and so on. So that was a function, but what interests me to know from you, as the provincial manager, if all these IDs are blocked, you've got 38,000 or something, you're going to have a stream of people coming, and then you've got them properly registered. I mean, how do you feel about that? Obviously, you've got to apply the policy, for example, suggesting you can do it. But how do you feel you're going to manage that?
With the issue of blocking the IDs, as a province, we have 6 months to keep those IDs. And why we're doing this is because of the fraudulent activities that happen. You don't have enough storage. On any week, I have over 20,000 IDs in the local where people are not coming forward. And every 6 months, I have to return them. However, since the beginning of this year, we've decided not to return them because we are preparing for elections. But we end up with so many IDs on our floor, and this results in officers. If you have this same corruption in Limpopo, where they are taking this and selling them to foreigners coming to the country. So to avoid that, we send them back to head office. But before we can block IDs, I would suggest the department really to go out on a public awareness that we are going to block these IDs, so that at least we know that whoever doesn't have an ID will apply for an ID. Maybe if really it was the fault of the... I don't know whether Pretoria can store those IDs rather than store them. But in a province, we have a space to store those IDs. I know that we have spent money, but what we're doing in high impact, we make sure that if it's like water bag, we go to each and every... in every village,
no.
We communicate with the host. We have a list of people who are supposed to be collecting IDs, and the chief must identify the people so that we can go and deliver. But that is not happening, still not a success. We started with water. When it comes to duplicate IDs and single person with duplicate two IDs or many other people with a one ID number, it hasn't been accessed. But keeping them is not an option because of the corruption.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to trouble you. My point is, the minister said that we've got to resolve this issue. There are too many that advertise in the newspaper, they've spoken it. What we're going to do is, on the computer systems, they will block all those IDs, and they apparently have consulted with the banks about it, and the banks are very happy for that, because they have a problem with people. And I'm not so much interested in the physical side. I can see that is an issue. But how do you feel? I mean, supposing all these people with these duplicate IDs are suddenly going to come present their ID and they'll say, no entry, sorry, blocked. They're all going to come and apply, presumably, for a new ID. Are you ready for that? That's all I'm concerned about administratively.
In large offices, we can't cope with the numbers, because that's the issue. That's the question that we are facing with smart cards. We had to look at whether we are ready. Should the department announce that people should come and apply for smart cards, will we be ready? Because we'll have a stampede. In large offices, we can accommodate them, but in a small office like there's normal hoping where I have only 3 people, I won't be able to cope. But fortunately, in other districts like Makado, we have 4 offices. So if a person really gets the notice that his ID is blocked, we'll have to channel them to these large offices. There's nothing worse than I can say here. Yeah. And on the training regarding the smart card, training has so far been done by its head office, by Learning Academy. We had a first session in early June where all officers, including provinces, we were trained on this.
In Pretoria.
In Pretoria, yes. And then the training that we've been talking about mostly, it's training of immigration officers coming into Bay College. What we do, Learning Academy comes to Limpopo and then avail a facility where they are trained for the month, and then they are deployed back to their office. To their office. So the training is for a year, so they train for a month and then give it a break, and then the following month they are trained again. So it's Learning Academy, it's personal training. And the time spent in use, we only have 2 offices, JFS and Mpulukwan, that have a automatic system and an electronic system to measure that. That we can use that information from the database. However, we have areas like offices in Mutale, Tohoyano, where a manager had a project. Initially, we didn't do this. What they do is, when a person comes through the door, the security will allocate a particular person with a time that this person came in here. And the person will do an by the time he gets the card, he hands over that card, and the person who's attending the front office will write the time when did you attend. So that's how we measure this. It's cumbersome, but that's the only way that you can use for now. But you are planning to put in this human system in the refugee center, Pusina, and activate the sort of entry. And the 2 hours for Musina is because once a person comes in to apply, there is a process that has to be followed by from the reception officer to the RDO, and then until a decision is made where you, maybe if you don't have enough, if you have enough capacity, a person can still get his decision there and then. But we issue this thing after a certain process that is followed at Musina. So 2 hours is reasonable if you are going to, you're coming in and you need a permit just to proceed in the country and be legal. So that's why they should take so long. But for the border post, our offices, we have serious problems with the office infrastructure and accommodation infrastructure. Kapoor. What happened, our offices were damaged by water. And what we did, and until Monday, we were negotiating with the police that we want to move into the main building because Home Affairs was operating from a park home. And when the park home was damaged, it's only then that we learned that public works said they don't own that park home, they are not going to refresh it or they've been repaid. So that's when we started negotiating for space with the police, and that space has been provided this week. It has been confirmed this week. This morning that we are accommodated in the office. However, it's still a problem because it's not sufficient space. Even accommodation, it's still a problem in Pafuri. Our officers don't have accommodation. We've submitted this assessment to property management and public works, but public works is not coming through because our park where they sleep is so damaged and said that it doesn't have a base. Elim office. Elim office, we identified that we'll open an office in Elim. It was operating until 2010 in a privately owned building. But we were given a notice in May 2010 that we should, the owner wanted to demolish that building. So we moved out, we decided to reassign staff to the nearest office, which is Makaro and Bungane. And eventually a tender was issued. But because of a miscommunication between DPW and the person who I think won the tender, that relationship fell through. So we had to start afresh with the process. But what has happened? We have an office from Elim. We have about 50 kilometers from Elim. So we have a Bungane office. And then we capacitate that other office so that it can accommodate people. And yes. And then one main office is Makado office. It's a bit far, about 40 to 50 kilometers away from Elim. But at least it still can render services. And there is a hospital, Elim Hospital, where we also capacitate it right in Elim. But they can't render a full service. But again, this is a delay from public works because every now and then we make and they say to us, they cannot find office space. Well, we know that there are shopping centers that can accommodate us. So we don't know what is the problem. And they keep on submitting reports that they cannot find. We've made suggestions that there are new malls in that area. Even the previous landlord was still willing to accommodate us, but they were no longer willing to negotiate with him. So we don't know what was wrong with that relationship. And the office has been closed since last year or August. Because the landlord realized that there's a breakdown in the relationship between him and he decided to accommodate Home Affairs temporarily. But that became a problem when this thing was prolonged and he wanted money and we couldn't pay him from our budget. A process has to be followed. So we moved officers to a mobile truck outside so that they can, in the meantime, notify people that we can't run the office in that office, to notify them of the nearest offices before we relocated. So they stayed in that mobile for about 3 months. Rendering services. But now we are still waiting for DPW to find us in office.
Thanks. The issue of Honorable Mark Chusu, the PMDS, the discrepancy between the numbers. Yeah, while I was going through the president, I realized that something that is not tally, that has been noted. to be corrected. Then the issue of their resignations. To say the reasons I heard, most of them are personal. But before we can let them go off the system, we normally investigate if there are any pending cases against them, if they run away from their seats. But if you find there's nothing in our books, then we let them go. But sometimes they even refuse to fill the exit interview so that we find their reasons. Those are the personal reasons. Then if there's nothing against and the supervisor agrees, sometimes we do freeze them. We do let them go. We hope we've covered all the property. Yes. Yeah, currently it is operational. We did even appoint the control immigration office to that office to be in charge of the office. Though the challenge of the office space is there. That's the reason that my PM has just alluded to. Involving public works and the negotiation to move to the main building with the police. But it is operational.
If I can, and we only moved in yesterday when we got confirmation that we can share office space with the police. But since the beginning of this year, that part was not operating.
Thank you, Limpopo. Thank you so much for your long presentation. And please shorten it next time. But you touched on most pertinent issues affecting your province. We want to thank you for your good work and care on doing the good work in your province. It shows more maturing than we saw a gambo haling. Thank you. Can we have Gauteng?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. I bring you greetings from the province of the cradle of humankind. The province where when the two teams that meet in the province, the country is divided into two. The province that is the cradle of the democracy that we have, that we are enjoying in South Africa. That you had seen in the past, the Blue Bulls had gone to Soweto and conquered at some stage there. They also are representing not only the province but also South Africa against the Brumbies. Also, Pirates is representing South Africa against the Egyptians, against the Congolese. So we have representation from Gauteng. I bring you greetings from that vibrant province. Yes, honorable members. The good sense of the presentation is that we will take the member through the basic information around our footprint, our performance for the quarter, and the services that we render, the core services that we render in the department, in the province for the department. We'll also include our statistics on human resources and finance. I must bring apologies from the Director of Finance who was acting in my absence when I was on leave. I only came back on Monday, but she was in charge of the province, and I had to ask her to stay behind so that she ensures that the province continues to run, to ensure that things are done properly. But then we also are going to talk about the project that we are involved in, and the achievements that we've made so far. The provincial overview, that represents Gauteng. We all know that we have the city of Tshwane, the city of Johannesburg as metros, Ekurhuleni, Sidibeng, and West Rand as Gauteng. But the offices that we have in the in the province. We have a district manager operation in charge of Johannesburg, a district manager operation in charge of Tshwane, a district manager operation in charge of Ekurhuleni, with combined Westland and City being under one district manager operation, as it will be shown in the slides below. This is our footprint in Gauteng. We have in the Johannesburg Metro, we have those offices there, so we to Johannesburg, Lanseria Fort within those, Makoya Mall. We have two mobile offices allocated for the city of Johannesburg. And in Ekurhuleni, those are the offices that we have for Gauteng, with three mobile offices that are allocated. Where for Tshwane, we have 11 offices with two mobile offices allocated, ensuring that we try to reach as much as we possibly can the population in the province. In Westland and Sedibeng, we have a combination of 16 offices, covering the local municipality Mokgale, Randfontein, Western Area, Merapo, and Sedibeng covering Mfuleni local municipality, Lesedi, and Midvale. We also have two mobile offices allocated in each of the two districts, giving Gauteng an allocation of 10 mobile offices. We also register birth and health facilities. Those are the facilities and the performance for the quarter. And Ekurhuleni, in clinics Butsilong and Empilweni, we have registered 74 for the quarter, 370. In essence, in Ekurhuleni, the total bed registered for the quarter out of the hospitals that are in there, we registered 3,873 beds. The highest office bed registered bed in the area is in Natal Strait, Ekurhuleni, which has registered almost 1,000 beds on its own. In the Johannesburg Metro, we've registered a total of 5,274 beds with the number of hospitals that we have in the metro there. The highest being Kisani Baragwana, registering 8,294 beds, followed by Park Lane Clinic, which registered 726 children or babies. So essentially, we're capturing beds at the highest yielding areas where that occurs. The health facilities, again, that we capture beds in Johannesburg, the total there. The slide is just combined. The previous slide has captured the total as 5,274. But then the next slide also includes Lenasia South and Nile Ngoye Mufulo, Raima Musa, South Rain Hospital and Zola as part of the 5,200. But then there's Sidibeng and Tshwane that have been combined into 3,656, the total output in the two districts. We also have 4,512 beds registered at the Tshwane hospitals that are indicated in slide number 13 there. This is Welkers Private Hospital, Dr. George Mukhari Hospital, Pretoria West and Pretoria East Hospital. Stephen Diko Hospital in Pretoria Academic has at least registered one child there. My highest in Tshwane it's George Mukhari with 628 beds being registered there. In the West End, we've registered 1,147 beds. The total for the quarter in Gauteng is 18,462 beds that were registered at the catchment areas that we've alluded there to in the slides above. The province is the operation structure in the province is shown for the committee members there, with me being the provincial head. Acting in this capacity, the head for Lanseria Port of Entry is Temam Gan, the Director of Finance and Support, Pumeza Mboaha, Director of the Refugee Center. Under in this period, it was still Solan in Dukwan, who has, from the beginning of the week, since moved to Limpopo. Limpopo reports to the progress of Solan in Dukwan in June. In the quarter, but she only moved in the second quarter. So we account to her in Gauteng because she still appears under Gauteng on PERSA. Does the process still not become vacant until she's moved, totally moved out of the establishment, so that the post become vacant and we can then advertise? But we are continuing with the advertisement of the position. And then every lane is under Mumuekezi, Johannesburg is under Mpulungilem Police, Swan is under Ngoreka Mlenza, and the Western Entrance City being is under Vado Afilaka. The colleagues, the honourable members would note that my colleagues are only ladies, so I'm in charge of ladies that are pushing, steering me in the right direction. So they advise me, no, go alone, go take the heat, we will support you from home, so that we take care of the home while you are away. But that's how it is in the province. The targets for the province will give an overview of the performance in the quarter. We've achieved 5 of the 25 targets we had set for ourselves in the first quarter. I'll explain the reasons why we have only achieved 5, because we have had a high impact outreach program that we have achieved, which we put all our effort and energy into it. We have implemented the late register. We're supporting the late registration of birth, which is implemented nationally. And registering ID applications from check and trace is done in one day. We have 100% of Section 22 permits issued within one day, and 75% of first issues. Status determination finalized within 6 months. We also have achieved, in terms of the average time, customer spend and queues. The 18 targets were partially achieved. Not that they were not done, they were achieved, but when a target is not fully achieved, we don't regard it as achieved per se. When you started working on the target until to about 99% of completion, it is regarded as partially achieved. Until you finalize the execution of the target, then only is it regarded as fully achieved. The 2 targets out of the 25 were not achieved. The progress towards achieving the strategic objectives of the province. The Region 2 has signed an MOU with Johan Heinz Hospital, and it includes Swan District Health Facility, where there was no connectivity due to assets not being allowed to be moved as a result of the Auditor General who's in the department doing an assessment of the department's performance. Preparations for launching Gauteng Provincial Stakeholder Forum during the first quarter were also delayed because we could not be able to get the diaries of the minister and the premier being synchronized so that it enables us to have the stakeholder forum launched. But progress is being made in that regard to ensure that in this quarter, before the end of September, we have been able to launch the stakeholder forum in Gauteng. The project to eradicate the backlogs in TRPs has been completed. The TRPs are temporary residence permit. Jamestown had always been a problem office in terms of registering a temporary residence permit. So a concerted effort has been made to ensure that we indeed make a dent on the numbers that are at the Jamestown office. The smart card rollout, 3 offices have been identified to be piloted in Gauteng, which is Johannesburg, Soweto, and Byron Place. Byron Place is a office in Pretoria, which has replaced office that we have been occupying in Kuma Street. We've moved over to Byron Place in Konanana Sita and Sofiti Brain Street in Pretoria. So we are in the process of ensuring that boots are in place so that the office is able to accept applications for smart card rollout. Although the department will be able to communicate clearly as to how the general public will access smart card, we are working in readiness to prepare our offices for the time when that announcement is made for them to be ready to enable us to deliver on their promise. The 9 mobile trucks have been fitted with satellite dishes. Although they are still not fully functional, because as they get connected and you take them on site, then they start showing problems. We've not, as the PM from Limpopo has indicated, we've not yet signed off as fully functional, because we are not satisfied with the functionality of the satellite. And until we are we've taken it to the most robust areas, and have proven them on the terrain, and we'll only be then sign off to say that the mobiles are fully functional. The key factors impacting on progress: there's inadequate capacity within inspectorate unit, which then impacts negatively on us, ensuring that we deal with illegal immigrants in the countries in the province effectively. But we are in the process of beefing up the capacity within the unit. The LRB cases that need to be finalized need inspectorate intervention. This is why then a concerted effort is being made within the province to ensure that the inspectorate is strengthened. There were delays in shifting of funds. That led to individual requests being made, which delayed our output in terms of the 30-day payment. And accruals were not paid due to incorrect capturing of system or of the budget on us, which are problems that led to housing not performing to the expected levels in terms of ensuring that we do justice to the finances that have been given to us. There's been a high number of unfinalized cases of amendments and rectifications which are lying in offices that have been sent to head office which are not yet resolved. There's delays in filling of vacancies due to a process of prioritization. And as a result of the decentralization of some of the functions, of some of the recruitment functions to provinces, we have found that as a province, we struggle with security clearance for those recruits, those new recruits that we try to bring on board. So what we had complained about, that head office is delaying, now the reality is with us as well, that we are still struggling with the same realities that they had struggled with. But as a way to intervene, we have engaged subs so that they speed up the process of ensuring the security clearances are done in a quick turnaround time. The bed registrations and hospital connectivity, the projected 139,826 beds registered in the province within 30 days was the target that was set for us for the year. In the quarter, we targeted 41,140. The actual performance in hospital, we've captured 22,478. In offices, we've captured 22,478, and in hospitals, 18,462. The total actual is 40,940, which is an underperformance in terms of the quarterly target. The key enablers that enable us to achieve the target would be the bed registration at the hospital has increased from the 59 out of the 129 health facilities that were connected presently. Out of those 189 urban areas, there are 58 in rural areas. And there's only five level five dedicated staff appointed in these hospitals. Although we're connecting this large number of hospitals, there are only five people that are manning on a full-time basis the hospitals that we are connecting. So there's a need for us as a department to move with speed in ensuring that the posts are also filled for the positions that we've created for the hospitals that we have connected. There's a national marketing strategy for new bed registrations which contributed to raising awareness. When we launched the unabridged birth certificate in Park Lane, it raised awareness of the need for parents to come register children. We have done mobile offices, the new satellite installations, which are 90% completed, are also going to enable us to reach the target that we have not achieved in this quarter. We've partially achieved by 99% with 1% non-achievement due to non-connectivity of health facilities, and there are plenty of foreign parents that are being that are okay in the hospitals as well. We also kept them manually, and did take the time to get captured in the offices that we sent to. Because the facilities in the health facilities are not manned on a 24/7 basis, children that are born over the weekend are not registered at the time that they are born, so we tend to lose out on those that we would have captured had we had adequate staff to man at the hospitals. This is an awareness of why we have missed the target, and we're going to be working towards it to ensure that the target is realized going forward. The issuing of IDs to 16-year-olds, where the annual target is 200,392 ID applications for the first issue collected and processed in front offices. The quarterly target for Gauteng was 53,021. We've underperformed. The actual performance for the quarter was 36,075. We only achieved the target by, we partially achieved the target by 68%. We've taken in applications at schools of the total contribution from applications at schools is 11,835. We also handed to school to learners 17,863 ID books. Going forward, we need to monitor implementation and utilization of function standard, which was created to monitor applications that are captured for learners. We are going to intensify campaigns within regions to educate learners and parents about the importance of applying for enabling documents for 16 years. The mobile offices that we spoke about, out of the 10 mobile offices, nine have been fitted with the new satellite dishes, and six of those out of the 10 need generators to be serviced. So, in essence, two out of the 10 are fully functional. And one of the mobile trucks does not have a printer. We're in the process of procuring the printer to enable us then to ensure that we have an increased number of mobile offices connecting as a result of the intervention by head office with regard to the satellite connectivity. The machine readable passport issued the passport issued within 24 working days, which is a manual process, is the annual target for the province. The quarterly performance was partially achieved. We manually received 18,757 applications. Only 66% of manual passports were received back at office during quarter one, and only 56% of live passports were received at the office during the first quarter. There is a problem with regard to an office in Swan, in Harangua in particular, where there's constantly table theft, which hinders the office to render services properly to the public in there. Ekurhuleni also had power failures at some stage, an office in Ekurhuleni, in Germiston in particular, where there was a power shut down for the month of April. This then impacts on the reporting, because track and trace does not give adequate report in terms of what the province is able to do. As part of the LRB campaign, areas that we visited, we had targeted six, we actually visited 49. The target was achieved during the first quarter. 49 areas were visited. 154 applications were taken in during the areas that were visited. And of these, 96 applications had been sent to head office, and that 4 ID numbers had been created. At the office, we received 16,393 LRB applications for the 31 days and above during the first quarter, in comparison to the fourth quarter in the previous year, which we received 18,333. Therefore, the rate of LRB is in essence decreasing. The high impact outreach programs that were conducted in the province, Western and Sidibeng undertook a high impact outreach program. The areas that were serviced were in Randfontein, Koksoort, Nkagiso, Soul City, Magaliesberg, Masaka, and Fogville, and Rural Extension 3, also in Hekwort, in a rural area of Krugersdorp, in Nkagiso Hostel, in Randfontein, in Finberg, in Fogville, Western area, and all those areas that were targeted. In the outreach program, we had issued to 16-year-olds 11 IDs, for 17 years and above, 29. LRB process was 23. first registered within 30 days was 8, those that are above 31 days were 24. We ran 2 amendments, the stolen ID collection, death marriages and death issues were 5, and there was 385 inquiries. The involvement of stakeholders was the Western Local Municipality, the SAPS, and CDWs were used to mobilize the citizens. Significant inquiries were received, and ID first issue from 17 and above, with the number of LRB applications decreasing in the area. So in essence, it just goes to show that the effort that we are making in outreach campaigns, it's making the desired impact. We also visited in the Sidileng area from 15 to 21 June, Ratanda, Leseiko Mao, Sebukeng Hostel, Sonar Vatov, and all those areas that are alluded there. And the outreach statistic was that the ID first issues were 67, the ID of 17 years and above were 87, LRB 75, birth within 30 days was 11, and birth after 31 days was 22 days. The amendments that we received was 1, and rectification was 1. 11 citizens collected their IDs. We did a reissue 21, and inquiries of 151 were handled. The stakeholders that were involved were the Sidileng Local Municipality, SAPS, and CDW that mobilized the citizens. Also, this shows that the LRB are decreasing in the area that we targeted. Other than the impact that the intended impact is being reached with this LRB outreach program. That's a montage of pictures just that follows of the outreach program with the colleagues there being on the outreach programs for both Western and Sydney. 85% of TRPs with critical skills issued within 8 working weeks for applications processed within the RSA and abroad. The target for the quota for the province was temporary residents, all categories on check and trace were done within 2 days. This was partially achieved. We have the statistic that 7,617 applications were received, 4,696 approvals that were received from head office. We had 391 rejections, which then led to the team going out to do a further investigation with the inspectorate, ensuring that these are then followed through to enable us to deal with those that are illegal in the country. And only 67% of decisions were received back out of the 7,617. Two regions achieved and 2 regions partially achieved. And the 1 region in Gauteng did not achieve anything at all. Difficult in updating track and trace for old applications on the new system due to limited access, checking and recommendation of applications are all the time consuming. Those applications cannot be forwarded within the turnaround times. There's also lack of monitoring tools to ensure that all applications are dispersed. This is an admission on our part that the management is very weak in monitoring the quality of work that is being done. It's of the standard that is required. So we'll go back to the province and take the team all on board and show that this then gets attended to. 50% of PR issued within 8 months. The quota target was PR permits in province collected, quality assured, and referred to health office within 2 working days. The actual performance, we say that we partially achieved this one, but the statistic is that 4,115 applications were taken in, 2,575 were approved, and 61 were rejected. Only 65% of decisions were received back from the total that was sent to head office. Out of their performance, it indicates that 1 region has achieved and 2 regions have partially achieved, and 1 did not achieve at all. The run for main office in Region 2 has been offline since the 14th of June and could therefore not capture the applications on track and trace. The annual target for a refugee office in terms of the time it takes, the average time it is spent in queues for Section 22 renewals is 15 minutes, and for the offices, for BMD, the average time it takes spent in queues for ID applications and passports is 26.62 minutes. The average time spent in queues for permitting is almost 2 hours. So essentially, the total queuing time in Gauteng is indicated as an average about 70 minutes. That includes the refugee centers and the civic services offices. But there's only one region that has a queue management system that gives us the true indication of the time it takes to measure the time it takes to stand in the queue. The other processes are all manual and rudimentary. So as the PM from Limpopo has indicated, it's a tedious process, but we are working on ensuring that the queue management system is installed in all offices. The 100% of Section 22 permits issued within 1 day and 75% of first instance termination finalized within 6 months. That's the statistics of both Tiro and Marabastad, which I'll skip through, but it's available for members for whatever question that might arise. The immigration inspectorate, the operational areas. Employers successfully charged in the province. The quota one target was 56. The actual performance was 6. It's not achieved, although we indicated that it's achieved, but it is not. The transgressors of the departmental legislation successfully charged. Admission of guilt fine pays or offenders deported. The quota one target was 1492. The actual performance was 748, which is a non-achievement. Undocumented foreigners deported within 30 calendar days in province, direct deportations. The quota target was 100%. We indicate the statistic as 2,700 direct deportees. This is taking the easy way out because whatever you receive, you then account for it as the actual performance. But it's not a true reflection of what needs to be happening in terms of direct deportation. But it's something that we indicate that we've achieved. The cases that are referred to inspectorate, including LRB, fraudulent birth registrations, completed in 28 working days in province. The target was 80%. The actual achievement was 542, which was achieved. The provincial project of fraudulent marriages and marriages of convenience established. The quota target was 10. The actual achievement was 16. So this was another achievement. 16 prof jobs, case flow management, and local command cluster meetings attended. These have been attended as expected. Inspections of registered hotels, lodges, hostels to ensure status of residents is legal. The target was 5. We've done 19. We've overachieved on those. Inspections of business, the target was 45, we've done 192. And 100% of cases referred to inspectorate to be recorded in case management system. All those cases that were reported were recorded in the case management system. The challenges, insufficient HR capacity. We currently have 297 inspectorate officials. We are unable to cover all areas under the inspector jurisdiction at this juncture. So we are unable to process foreign nationals arrested in police stations within the stipulated times, which then leads for the SAPS letting the illegal immigrants go because we have not done it in the stipulated time. And even if you were to be taken to court, you would not win a case like this because you've overridden the time that was allocated to you for you by law to keep a person in jail. So we are unable to initiate operations, are always working jointly with SAPS. We're going to be looking at prioritizing vacant civic services positions so that we fund the immigration position. The finance and support, we start first with the provincial capacity. The total establishment is 1,607, the total field, 1,530, with vacant funded positions being 77. So our capacity rate, we're sitting at 95% of capacity, with the vacancy rate, the 77 translating into 5% of vacancy. The staff profile of the 1,530 staff members in the province, 947 are female, 8 are disabled, and 583 are males and 6 are disabled. We have 62% of those being female and 38% being male. We have 0.01% people, staff members are disabled in the province. The filling of vacancies, we show the advertisement that had gone with the post that we had advertised, the closing date for the advertisement, and the deadline for the filling of this position. We say we fill position in 6 months, we indicated that we are only able to do a recruitment up to a certain point because letters of appointment are still done ahead of this. So we've advertised the 5 posts in June. In May we've done 2. We shortlisted about 2 in May as well. The total for the 6 months is 16 posts were advertised. 2 were shortlisted and 2 were interviewed. We had hoped to show the number of people that had started to assume duty with effect from June. It showed that none had started assuming the duties as the drive for recruitment and filling of posts. The training and capacity building overview. Out of the current establishment, we have 1,000 that are grade 12, which is 66%. Those with a matric certificate and below matric are 95, which is 6%. National diploma, 144. Those with honors and masters, 11, and masters is 1. Those with other qualifications which we have been verified are 87, which translates into 4%. But the interpretation is that out of the current establishment, the major part of the staff have matric and below. So we are going to encourage staff to take studies and take advantage of budgets that are being offered in the department as well. The budget allocated to Gauteng, the total was 383,456,000. The expenditure on bus as of the 30th of June, we spent about 93 million of the allocated funds. We committed 5 million in the period. The percentage spent is 25.6. The percentage spent is 25.66%. We projected to spend about 285 million, 53,866. That's just the summary of expenditures and commitments as well as the percentage spending in the period under review. The revenue collection per area, per municipal area, in Johannesburg we've collected about 12.6 million, in Tshwane 18.6 million, in Ekurhuleni 12.1 million, in the West Rand, and NCD being about 3.8 million. In Gauteng in total, revenue collected was about 47.4 million in the period under review. The 152 orders were raised during the first quarter, 212 invoices were received during the first quarter, 153 orders were paid in 30 days, which amounted to 75% of invoices paid in 30 days. 49 invoices closed for the previous financial year were paid after 30 days. The challenges that we faced was the provincial budget was captured wrongly in the initial stages in the head office, which led to requesting or shifting of funds from one allocation to another, which made the spending to be cumbersome because all it required was forms to be sent through so that shifting could be done, and we could not spend in a manner that we would want it to. But we currently are spending at 25.6% of the allocated budget. Performance management, the PM desk conducted in this period is about 78%. The staff establishment, 1,160 have entered into performance agreement. And that's the demographic representation of the staff in the province. And asset management and supply chain management, we've verified 119 offices which includes your mobiles. The assets verified are 30,304. We've disposed of 4,667 assets. We still have to verify 1,041 assets, with a total asset base of 36,038 in Gauteng. The Gauteng has been allocated, excluding mobile offices, vehicles, 199 vehicles. We only received 17 vehicles in the allocation for 2013. And out of the 199, 197 are functional. The report is not as detailed as Limpopo's report, which indicates the lifespan of the vehicles per se. But we have a database available that checks the lifespan, the usage, and the consumption of fuel in the province as well. So there's two vehicles that are involved in accidents. Public corruption and security, 12 cases were received. There's 12 hearings that were held. We received six outcomes of the 12 cases in this quarter. The projects that are involved in, uh, 100% of ID duplicate cases resolved with multiple persons sharing same ID number. Region 1, which is your Johannesburg region, the Q1 target was 124. They finalized 18 at BBR. Region 2, 24. 16 were finalized at BBR. Region 3, 116. 42 were finalized. Region 4, 310. 55 were finalized. Region 5, 80. 10 were finalized. In total in the province, 604 duplicates were captured and 141 were finalized. We visited 58 areas during the quarter to rectify duplicate cases. 604 multiple person sharing IDs came forward, and of that, 141 cases were resolved. The achievement so far, we visited areas to eradicate LRB. We visited 49 areas. What has improved in this outcome is that this has led to a decrease in LRB. The high impact outreaches, two outreaches were done in the province, although we targeted one. This brings service closer to the community, and also it is a way of ensuring that the citizens, when they vote next year, they will be able to have IDs from Home Affairs. The office readiness for smart ID card rollout, two offices have been evaluated. Although three are earmarked for this process, and a process has been put in place to ensure readiness for the launch of the ID smart card. What has improved in that effort is that offices will be able to achieve the objective of the department to process smart card ID. That concludes my presentation. Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Dr. Honourable Members, that was the presentation from Gauteng Province. Time for questions and comments. I notice Honorable Hasiboni, Honorable McIntosh in that order. Can on a slide 19 at the moment, there's this, I think it's the fourth bullet, the third bulletin, delays in shifting funds. Can you explain that, because you did explain, but I don't understand why were funds moved by between yourself and the head of it. You said they were wrongly allocated, but you'll explain that as you respond to questions. And the incorrect capturing of budget, I think that's unacceptable. At this age, you still have incorrect capturing when people are taken for bus riding, and Gauteng especially still does incorrect capturing. I think that one is unacceptable. We cannot accept that one, and it needs to be corrected. Honorable Khatibuti, followed by Honorable McIntosh.
Thank you, Chairperson. On slide 31, you indicated that the Randfontein office has been offline. It is more than a month now. Are there any measures put in place to address that, or is it something that cannot be controlled? My other question will be on your slide 48. There were 12 cases that that were here. 6 were finalized. And how were they finalized, and what about the other 6 cases? Thank you.
Madam Chair, you covered me on that budget element, but on page 43, your challenges, I mean, it's badly spelt, but it says the provincial budget was wrongly captured in head office, which led to a request for shifting and funds, etc., etc. My question is the same as the chair's question. I don't know quite why that should be such a problem. Also on page 19, the question of security clearances. Look, if it's obviously national security is one thing, but if it's financial and their credit records, I don't see why you've got to use the police. The banks and credit bureaus, if the department subscribes to them, you can do that sort of thing quite easily. So that is a way to go forward. And then Mr. Molloy and also Mrs. Mortizzi raised the question of preparing for elections. Perhaps you could just tell us, I mean, what was the instruction from presumably head office about getting ready for elections, if you could share that with us. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, honourable members. Perhaps then I should start with the start apologizing for the peg that was handed to honourable members with wrong spellings. I also noticed when the client on my presentation there's been a better improvement. My apologies for that. But in terms of why the budget was captured incorrectly, when a budget is given to departments, centrally it gets captured for provinces then to start spending on the budget. What happened at head office, when they captured the budget, they have line items that they capture the budget under. When they handed over to provinces, they had, not only for housing, it was for all provinces when they handed it over to the provinces. Only when we started wanting to spend, we realized that actually we were not able to spend the money in the line item that we want to spend. So it requires administratively, it's an administrative nightmare. For every transaction that you do, then you must send a letter that requests for funds to be shifted to the line item to which you want to start spending, which then creates a problem for us. It's something that has led to, when we tried to correct it as provinces with head office, it was a bit of a challenge for them to start doing the process or to correct it immediately. But as the year progressed, it was corrected further in the year, which delayed the spending that we had intended to spend. But it's something that has been sorted out in the interim. Madam Chair, the counting, the question was, what are we doing? What was the instruction that is the question from Honourable McIntosh. What was the instruction from head office with regard to preparing for elections? The instructions were clear that we are not going to make a public announcement that we are preparing for elections and people should come to Home Affairs to do their applications for their ID. But we had proactively gone out to the public with these outreach programs, the concerted outreach programs that we are making. It's an effort on our part as a department to proactively go and take in applications from clients that would be able then to be issued with ID. So that is why we have these 36 outreach programs that are in the annual performance plan of the department, which have then been given to provinces. And on an ongoing basis, on a quarterly basis, we ensure that we do this outreach program. The aim is to deal with LRB, ensure that those that are affected by LRB, when a declaration is made that LRB is no longer going to be taken in, we are able to assert we have reached all those hard to reach areas and have made an effort as a department, and there will be evidence to that effect. And the other would be when people go out to election, we would have as a department have made the effort to be out there and be seen to be doing the work that we are expected to do. So in that sense, it's a two-pronged approach. But we're busy dealing with LRB eradication. We are also dealing with the readiness for election, so that people are able then to apply an enabling document that would enable them to choose the party of their choice. All right, with regards to why are we involving SAPS, the process of security clearance is twofold. You do a financial clearance as well as a criminal check. A person, because our young people also, they start working, maybe they get into internship programs, and then they get given credits to run by retailers, only for them to earn a debt that they're not able to carry through. And then the program stops at some point, and they're not able to pay back the debt that they have. So you would check, you do your reference check, you would find that a person has incurred debt that they're not able to keep up with. It's a negative score on the person. But in order to further do integrity checks, you check whether this person has criminal records or any of those things, which you then go on and verify indeed the person's integrity. Is it a question of circumstance, understanding the circumstances that our kids are exposed to, and maybe dealing with that in a different level, rather than being hard-nosed and saying the person has a bad credit record, therefore you're not going to take them into the employer government. But we want to do a credit check that is holistic to enable them to deal with the issues as I say. So in terms of the 12 cases, Honorable Hasebonye, I did not get the question again. Are there any reasons why the state one 12 cases that were received and 6 finalized?
Yeah, I was asking how were the 6 finalized? Like, what were the decisions on regarding the 6 cases that were finalized? And what about the other 6 cases? Because there are 12 cases all in all.
Okay, so it's a process that is being undertaken in terms of dealing with the LRB. Is it the LRB case that we talked about?
Permanent
resident. Yes, as you do these verifications, it's a process that as a province you take in applications. It's not adjudicated at province, but it gets taken to head office. They have a committees that sit and check the veracity of the information they have at their disposal. They make a decision and they bring it back. They would then accept of the 12 cases that we have brought forward. They then accepted only 6, and then there is other process of the immigration regime kicks in. Inspectorate has to go and check whether this person is legal in the country, the status of the person in the country, and they verify it, and then the process gets finalized on that scope.
The
Randfontein office, the issues at Randfontein have been twofold. It's a list that it's an office that we are sitting in. It's a lit building, and there are issues that the landlord does not want to do any refurbishment to the lease to the building, because we have not renewed the lease with Public Works. But there are reasons why Public Works has not been able to renew the lease at this stage. There is a building that is under construction that has been identified that is public owned. That is under construction, and it is not. DPW does not want to commit to a long term lease, because the building will come on stream at a particular point in time, and the landlord wants us to be locked into a long term agreement for them to go on and do the issue that they must attend to. But then we are being hard nosed about it to them. Say you must fix the problem in the infrastructure to enable us to do our services. For it has raised occupational health and safety issues, so it has become a problem to continue to render services in those houses in that facility. So this is why then Public Works does not want to commit to a long-term agreement with them, which we are in agreement with them. So if a building is going to come on stream, why commit to a long-term agreement? So it's something that we are working in conjunction with Public Works to get it sorted out. But this has an impact on the delivery of services that we're doing.
Okay.
And how are the clients that get services from this office assisted since it has been offline?
Well, the clients are being assisted. It's just that the record that you would then, for you to go back to the records to check the progress that the application is making. If it's not on track and you're not able to tell how far it has gone. So it becomes a semi-manual process, which makes it a problem for you to check the progress of the application. It is not totally collapsed services at the offices, but it is going towards that state where services are going to be completely collapsing. Because if the facility is not made properly fixed, it will eventually impact the services that are provided to the public. So that is why we are working closely with Public Works to ensure that this is dealt with and it's resolved for us as quickly as possible. The alternative is to source an alternative site. It is a challenge to get an alternative site. Well, even if we sort an alternative site, we will sort an alternative site for a short term, not a long term. And landlords are not willing to accommodate us, say, for 3 years, because our building is only going to come on stream in about 3 years' time. They want us to commit to a 5 year. It would be foolhardy of us to commit for 5 years when 3 years we're going to be paying for a facility we're not using.
Okay. I understand we have an office in Indonesia, but to the status of that office, not friendly. And is it possible that we do something similar with the condition of that office? I think also that it's undercapacitated. Can you do something with that office before we go to Gauteng? Because we'll be going to Gauteng on August. I'm not sure when. But please do something about that office and also other offices that may be of the same state. But I must compliment you that Gauteng has offices in almost most of the malls. Is it Bar and Maponya? Yeah. And that's why we speak of the accessibility of services to the people. We must compliment Gauteng for that. Thank you very much for your presentation. The next province is Mpumalanga. Okay, can we have a 2 minute break, please? sure we can start with the visitor.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I will summarize more especially that the questions were covered by my colleagues and through their answers that they gave. Chairperson, in terms of our table of contents, we are going to cover the geographical outlay in senior management team, the overview of the provincial performance in relation with 2012-2013, the footprint and capacity information, progress in eradication of corruption and poverty, resource and budget, operations, civic and immigration, our achievements and challenges. I will skip pages 3, 4, and on page number 6, I just want to say we have now reached the 4 million mark in terms of our population. However, 90.9% is still blacks, and mainly concentrated in Tanzania. We have also an marginal increase in proportion of Indians and Asians in the province. It's saddening to mention that still 40% of our population in the province are still tend to be literate. However, we've realized an increase in the population, and the proportion of population that completes grade 12 and higher education, and a decline in the populations with not schooling at all. The issue of illegals is still saddening too. On page number 7, that's where we're showing the demographics, the numbers in the population in the province. Sandin, as I mentioned, being the highest with 1.7, and Hatsibande with just 1 million, and Kangala with 1 million, 1.3 million. In terms of our achievements, with regards to our 2012-2013 provincial business plan, we have achieved 25 out of the 36 targets that were given to us, and to the targets that we achieved on are those that are appearing on this very page. On the next page is the targets that were partially achieved due to challenges that we may have come across, like the high outreach we have planned for 4, but due to our financial constraints, we only managed to do 2. We could not achieve fully the track and trace in terms of ID applications due to the fact that we still have service points, and those applications cannot be processed in 1 day as required. The 100% of South African writing metric issued ID books that we achieved. However, we have also pockets of those that are not South Africans that are doing metric. Hence, we showed it there. However, it's supposed to be on the first page. The passport applications captured within 1 day, as I mentioned, the issue of service points. We still have service points, and we cannot claim to have achieved that. Hence, we are saying we actually achieved. The 4 targets that we could not achieve at all is the issue of time spent in queues in terms of permitting, the time spent in queues at ports of entry, as we know that we have busy ports of entry, and you cannot claim to have achieved that, because at times we have quite a number of people queuing, and however we try and process them as quick as possible. As we move to page number 10, it shows the provincial management and the demarcations. I must say it looks the same, nearly the same as the one that was presented during our last visit to the portfolio committee. However, some progress has been made on terms of the appointment of a DMO in Kangala. It is just a matter of finalizing the appointment. Interviews were done. Also with Hertz Bande, the first interviews were done. It's a matter of finalizing the second interviews. As was mentioned by my colleagues, that it is the head of an office. The DG has to preside on the second interview. In terms of our footprint, we can claim to be visible, to be accessible. As it can be seen, the yellow being our port of entry, the green being our local offices medium, the red being our district offices. That is, in Mpumalanga we have three district offices. That is Emalahleni, Mbombela, and Ermelo. There are, however, other smaller towns where we are operating from. Like Balfour, it's not shown there as a place where we are operating from. Carolina and so on. We have quite a number of areas, but we can say we are visible. In terms of our footprint, we can say in Ekangeni we have 44 offices inclusive of the mobile offices as well as health facilities, also with visiting points. We have one provincial office and the three, as I just mentioned, local offices large, which are district offices, 21 local offices medium, 11 ports of entry, 10 local offices small, 9 tourism centers, 21 visiting points. We also have 26 health facilities that are connected to certain members of the public. We have also 11 mobile units. All in all, we have 113 offices. The following slides will show where these offices are, where the service points are, and so on, under which office are they attached. That will be slide number 40, 15, 16, and 17 and 18, yes. We do have challenges with our ports of entry that were connected. Some of them because the Department of Health is renovating hospitals. Some were connected, but now we have to wait until they finalize their connectivity, their renovations, in order to reconnect, like in the case of Uvenda, Komazi, Shongwe Hospital, where we have network problems. Initially, they had networks where we connected on, but now those networks seem to be giving problems. The Barberton Hospital is being upgraded, as well as Ajuba in Falkirk is also not giving us service currently. We are also showing the offices that are being leased, and as well as their when they are listed in labs on pages 20, 21, and on page 22 we are saying we have 11 mobile units or mobile offices. Four of them are said to be non-functional, and the number of functional mobiles are 7. Number of functional mobiles is 7. The one mobile was involved in an accident and is currently with penal beaters. The other three during the reporting period, we are still with the service provider for the installation of satellite dishes. In other words, the other three are now functional as well, with the exception of the one that is still with Penal Peters. We have an itinerary of all these mobile units for 3 months, April, May, and June. The program is attached just for information. That is up to page 28. We have three offices that are earmarked for the smart ID cards. That is Emalahleni, Witbank, Mbombela, Street, and Middleburg. The fact that we are identified Middleburg is because of the leases. The criteria was that we should have a lease that will go a longer time. However, in Gertsbande, we discovered that most of the offices there where leases are expiring soon. But we are considering Gertsbande with our future rollout plan. Offices with queue management systems are Witbank, White River, and Nelspruit currently. There are benefits that we have realized with these connectivities. That number of it gives an estimate waiting time. It indicates also the number of the client waiting in the office and the number that is served at that time. It is now also easy to determine the busy periods, and it gives a more professional impression. In terms of our capacity, I'll hand over to my colleague to take us through there.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and the members. In terms of capacity, this is the HR. For Mpumalanga, on the 31st of March, we were at 648. During the month of April to June, we managed to appoint about 87. Mainly 90% of those positions are for port of entry. We are fully capacitated for the Bombo for level 1 to level 8, of which now we are appointed now in July, level 9 to level 9. We are waiting for the second round of interview for the port manager, which is level 12. Out of that, we are still remaining with 39 positions to be filled by the end of June, of which most of those positions have already been interviewed in July. They go to the page number 33. The ED for Oshuk is earmarked for shortlisting on this Friday. The one for Mala has already been appointed now. The position now for SA Finance for Witbank. The interview is Friday, this Friday. For positioning for Bamshanga, the shortlisting is going to be next week, Monday. There are also remaining for level 6, for Malelan and Kumasi and Elspur and Kumati Port. The shortlisting is next week, Monday, on the 29th. Coming to the issue of the equity. Females are 399 compared to the males, which is 54% of the females and 46% for males. Coming to the area of the management, we are currently 50% on the 11 and level 12. It's 3-3. Now we are marking about a female on level 18. It's a recommended candidate, which means they're waiting for minister signature. Then we will have maybe two males and also one female. Then coming to the area of the feeding, to the management level 9 and level 10, we are sitting at 65% of male and 35% of female. With the issue of the other race and gender, other races, 90% in terms of the population, 90% are African in Mpumalanga. We are currently sitting at 94%, of which colors are 0.7%, staff. Indians are 0.3%, white are 4.8%. We added about 0.1%. When it comes to the issue of the disabilities, official of the disabilities, you could remember, Chairperson, the last time when we reported, we seated at 6 officials appointed with the disabilities, but now it's slightly increased by additional 6. Now we are at 1.6%. But what we did now, we reported the figures, Chairperson. We sent out the emails to the all office managers to confirm, because the statistics on the personal didn't show up the reality in terms of the abuse. We are currently, according to information Monday, it's after having this report directed for reporting. Now the figure has changed to 16 officials. That are people with disabilities, which is coming around 2.17%. With the issue of the leave, we managed, Chairperson, to capture all the leave to the last cycle for the previous cycle, by the 8th of June. We managed to capture the leave, and it's been disposed accordingly on the financial statements. The staff development, this is a transformation of the skills to make sure that we do induction and also train the officials within 3 months after the appointment. For the newly staff members that have been appointed for CV, it's 8. They've been trained with the Learning Academy with the recognition of the program from the end of June to the 14th of June. For immigration, we are saying 15, but I know the number is more than that, because for Lipombo, we managed to also to train those newly appointed about 56 of immigration officers. Yeah, I'll hand over to the PM to do the business plan and the performance. But I think I can carry on this one. In terms of the PMPS Chairperson, by the end of May, 31st of May, we managed to do 100% in terms of the moderation for the PMTS for the year ended 2012-2013. In terms of the payment agreement, we are fine with that, it's 100% so far. Then the issue of the interaction with the staff from the senior management, we have a structure in place where we make sure the professional managers team we meet on a monthly basis, where we engage with our staff. And we have also regional meetings where all the regional managers met and discuss the issues. Coming out from this meeting, we go back as well as the management and discuss the issues. Then we've got district management meeting where local office manager and support staff meet weekly. We've got staff meetings in the PM office and also the district office and the small offices as well. And we also have what we call quarterly review meetings. Then in terms of the youth, involving the youth, we got a program for the youth where the youth are also part of the decision making in the province. They gave us a program for recruiting the youth delivery agents where they can go to the community and deliver the IDs. You know, Chairperson, that is 2 hours now to election next year. We make sure those IDs have been delivered so that people can start to register on time. There was a program for Mandela month, which is July, which we will report when it comes to July. Then August, registration of birth within 30 days campaign. These are the programs that the youth develop and is implemented. In September, they will attend the issue of duplicate cases. And in Ganga district elections, they will be part as well. The LRV mob-up campaign. Yes, I think I'll go to page number 43, Chairperson. Counter-corruption. In Mpumalanga, we are fighting a lot in terms of this corruption. We had 20 cases on hand, of which 7 cases have been investigated and finalized those cases. So far, there were four arrests from the first quarter, 2 for Oshuk, 2 for GP3, where the office manager for GP3 and also the second charge, they were implicated in some of the cases, they've been arrested as well. Then we appointed the deputy director for waiting, It helps me a lot now in terms of the vetting. We don't have any problem in terms of appointment now. Coming to the issue of the operation clinic audit chairperson, there's a budget and resources. As a province, our budget chairperson is 187,847,800. So far, by the end of the quarter, we managed to spend about 46 million, of which is about 24.5%. We are high in terms of the less of 25%. That's 0.7%. Just to confirm with that chairperson, we managed to pay the service providers within 30 days 97.6%, of which it was about 127 invoices we received compared to 165. We omitted the schedules, yes. But to just report to support, you can see that indeed it was 24.5%. We managed to pay about 97%, 97.6% within 30 days. I know, Chairperson, you are worried about 2.4%. We'll make sure that next time we do 100%. In terms of the revenue collection, we're not as big as the Limpopo and housing. Mpumalanga is managed to collect about 7.6 million. I know that Mr. Mule will be laughing because he collected a lot, 47 million. And much, I was coming to 14 or 18 million. In terms of asset management, Chairperson, this is an issue of operation clean audit. We manage that we verify all the assets. We managed to verify about 13,355 assets. We managed to dispose. We auctioned by 9th of April, 1,663. At the end of the quarter, we got 11,602 assets. Then we can account for those particular for those assets. In terms of the fleet management, Chairperson, the last time we had 120 vehicles, we managed to receive 30 new vehicles, of which now currently is 150, but non-functional vehicles are 50. It's about 10%. You can realize that about 131 are functional, 90%. I'll hand over now to my peer, just to do the operations.
Thanks, Chairperson. In terms of our baseline, the registration of births within 30 days, as at last year, we were given 39,373 to cover, which we did, and went beyond the target. And this year we are given 38,193 to register. We have so far registered 9,543 during the first quarter. I can also mention, Chairperson, that between April and June, there were also registrations that were done in health facilities, which is amounts to 1.855 and 9,381 at offices, coming totaling 11,236. So it shows that we are going to make our target even in this year. In terms of health facilities, last year we had six that we had to connect, which we managed and exceeded to the target. And this year, financial year, we've given two health facilities to connect, which we have already connected. So we have achieved our target for this year already. We were to revive 22 stakeholder forums. So far, during the first quarter, we managed to revive the 12. We are meeting, it's not a matter of maybe blaming. We are meeting, as you can see down below, that we have meetings that took place during those days. We did not have a target for this, but I can just mention that during our first quarter, we managed to do 51 areas to cover, and on and above the 7 that is reflected there, we visited another 44 areas in terms of our outreach campaign and in Kumasi, and we covered vast areas. The statistics will also follow. We are given this year 4 outreach programs to conduct. We managed with Ngomazi, as I mentioned, and we are currently busy with the second one around Elukwatini, where the minister will be visiting within a week or two. Those are some of our mobile units when we are on action. In terms of our school visits, we managed to visit 188 during the first quarter, and took applications from matriculants as well as those that are 6 years and above. IDs were issued in terms of those statistics that are following. We have also shown that we are still continuing, and we have so far covered 263 schools. In terms of our LRB applications, 1,200 were received, 750 sent to head office, 53 were sent for immigration investigations, and 28 were received back from immigration. The reason why it is a bit slower is because of our immigration officers that are lean in the province, the inspectorate. We don't have enough inspectorate members that can go out and finalize these applications, because we've got also quite a number of operations that we do. In terms of passports, 7,528 normal passports were taken, child passport 1,710, official passports 20, Mercy passports 367, and we were also requested to issue quite a number of temporary passports, more especially when these churches visit the nearby countries. They come for these temporary passports, and it issued 2,792. And then you have your normal travelers who are coming to request for this emergency passport, of which we gave out 675 during the period under review. In terms of the uncollected alibis, the opening balance was 17,000, that is the beginning of April, 17,884, but in June we had 10,655. The rest were issued out. We have strategies in place. We negotiated with the Office of the Premier, where the Premier himself requested us to give lists to his office whilst we were giving those lists to speakers of the various local and district municipalities. It is in a way of assisting us to get those people. Those lists are going to be given to councillors and the CDWs who go out and find the applicants wherever they are residing. That will help us a great deal. I believe we will eventually have a nil for the first time, because they will be looking for those people and finding where they are. In terms of queries, yes, we do have quite a number of queries that we receive. We had, during the period under review, 242 queries which were not finalized. These queries are of various nature. Some are change of surnames, some are change of ages, you know, we have quite a number of requests that we receive. The number of new queries that we received are 840. The number of queries that we finalized are 560. And we still have quite a number of queries that are not yet finalized, because on a daily basis you receive some. And we took this number from the recent accounting that we did. Applications for permanent residence are 140. 135 were sent to head office, PR approved to 26, and those that were refused are 15. We also have temporary residence permits. The numbers are there, but I realize that I will bore you with the numbers if I count each and every one. The number of transgressors in terms of our inspectorate were 82. The value of the admission of guilt was 282,500. Number of transgressors directly deported within 30 days, 3,336. And number of transgressors deported to Lindela within 30 days were 127. Undocumented foreigners that were detected during the reporting period were 216. The number of foreigners released was 16, because after arresting them, you also await them to prove. And as they prove, you realize that these ones were wrongfully maybe arrested or detained, and you release them. Number of employees successfully charged was only one. Number of cases of alleged fraudulent marriages investigated were 9. And only one was found to be a marriage of convenience. I remember that there was a case as to how you prove that this was a marriage of convenience. There are proofs, you know, some are married, they stay in the same area, but they are not staying together. The one has got his shack there, the other one has got his a shop where he may be staying, and you can therefore prove that this was a marriage of convenience. We also engaged with operations together with the MEC for safety, security and liaising, which they call overall Friday. There are usually operations when we go out with him and do operations, state roadblocks and check vehicles. We had 4 up to so far. These are statistics for post of entry. You realize that within that period, close to 2 million were traveled through our border posts, in and out of South Africans and non-South Africans. You also have those that were refused entry or departure in those numbers. Fines and penalties that they issued at our port of entry, you realize that the numbers are increasing. 6,818, which brings us a value of 2.8 million in terms of the Immigration Act, Section 50 and Subsection 1A. Subsection 1B is 1,641, which gives us again figure beyond the 2 million. You also have admin fines where they fine those numbers and those figures. I cannot bore you with numbers, you can proceed. But those that are paid already are those that are appearing on this page. We also had deportations, which we do directly through our border posts, more especially for Swazis and Mozambicans, which are to date brings us to a figure of 8,192. Those are statistics for mobile units as we deploy them, and the figures, the revenue that was collected in terms kinds of applications that we take. I believe my colleague has reported about the number of officials that were appointed. But what we want to point out is that with the evolution of delegations to the province, we managed to appoint those people. And with the delegation of the financial delegations to the province, we also are managing to issue our orders and have them paid within the 30 days as required. We do have challenges, though, that we meet up from time to time as we want to increase our footprint. Like, for instance, in your rural areas, there is no infrastructure. There is no infrastructure also at your board of post of entry, where there are not even training facilities for your or meeting rooms. But mainly with your rural areas, there are no offices that are coming up. We've been struggling in areas like Ngomasi, in areas like Bushbuck Ridge, where you still find our officials working in one room for all the operations that they have to undertake. The late registration of births, despite that we are sending out our mobile units, we are doing what we call an outreach, high-impact outreach, but the number of people that are coming out to apply, it's not really pleasing. We realize that there could be some that are not coming to us. And also, where we expand our operations through the Tucson centers, you find that you are called at a later stage when a Tucson center is already built and standing there, which doesn't meet your requirements, and they expect you to operate from. So those are some of the challenges that we have. Chairperson and honorable members, thank you.
Members, that was a presentation by Mpumalanga. I noticed there's this youth program, but there's inconsistency with the provinces because others have it, others did not report on that. So if that is so, maybe if we could, get consistency with if there's a youth program, it's there in all the provinces. And if managers report, they also touch on that so that we know what is happening with the youth program in the provinces. Honorable members, it's time for questions. But what I wanted to find out in the day is the refusal of people departing. Foreigners and South Africans who are refused permission to leave the country or enter the country. Why is it that? Or what causes the refusal or the reasons for the refusal? But before you respond, I'm sure members would like also to pose their questions. I noticed that the McIntosh Fanawankos.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Zita. I think you have a very challenging
province, and I think you highlighted on page 6 where you have, you say, over 80,000 undocumented persons are found in the area. Look, I don't think one wants to spend a long time on this, but I think we know the stories in KwaZulu-Natal in near Pongola, where they say the compi taxis bring the people from Swaziland to come and get their grants, and then they go back to Swaziland. And I know in Lesotho sometimes it's a problem too, and you, I think, are particularly affected in that area. But the question I've got is twofold on this overview on page 6, is, or you say approximately 80,000 undocumented persons. Now, people are undocumented. How do you know about them? I mean, they're ghosts, aren't they, in terms of your... Is it sort of an estimate on information? And then I'm actually... The question of 40% of the population in the province is illiterate. Now, do you mean that they cannot even operate a cell phone? So it means that, 58% can operate a cell phone only, but for South Africa, say there 83% of South Africans have cell phones. So I just query that figure. I think that's a very pessimistic figure with respect, Madam Chair. Then on page 36, as we say in Afrikaans, 36 and 37 does dear makar. I mean, you've got under staff development the number of birth registrations, client relations, etc. And all the figures repeat themselves. I think maybe on the Excel spreadsheet there was an inkinga somewhere. But I just bring that to your attention. And then on page 62, the query I've got is on your permanent residence. Is this figure for the quarter? So in other words, there are 140 applications received and only 26 approved in that quarter. Presumably a PR may take a bit longer, so it may be approved in the next quarter. I just want clarity on that. And then on 67 and 68, it's quite interesting to see the amounts. On 67, fines and penalties issued and fines and penalties paid. So in other words, you gave out fines of 2.8 million for Section 51A, but you only received 1.38 million in cash, as it were. Okay, all right, that clarifies that. And then I can understand the challenges in rural areas, Madam Chair, and I think public works need to be proactive, but if you look at commercial businesses like Capitec Bank or McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken, they find places. Now, maybe you must talk to your friends in public works and say, look, can they not make a plan there of some kind? Or maybe just have a chat to Capitec's property management division and say, how do you guys find these places?
This is home. But before you respond, the issue of Komatipoort railway station, is it still sitting or was it attended to? Remember the other time you raised that the Komati people from Malawi come in through Komatipoort station, if I'm not mistaken, because there is no port of entry there. Can you respond to the question? Questions by members.
Thanks, Chairperson. If I may start with the refusals. South Africans are also refused, departing South Africa. If a person comes to the border post with a full passport, a passport which cannot be stamped even by your counterpart on the other side, so that creates a problem. You also realize that there are people who claim to be South Africans. We don't refuse a South African coming back to South Africa. But you also realize that there will be people who claim to be South Africans. And then as you interrogate the person, then you realize that this person is claiming to be, but is not actually a South African. So those are being refused. Chairperson, I believe the issue of the railway station was an issue when we were saying, despite that the Komatipoort station is not a port of entry, but still people are alighting there, and you find people boarding the plane, the train there. However, the use of the train from Mozambique has now been suspended for quite some time. And there's no train that is bringing people to South Africa. Hence, you realize the number of buses that are transporting people from Maputo to inland, and then they can catch our local trains and buses. Honorable Member McIntosh, the undocumented people, is in fact the foreigners that are in the country. Around the area of Komazi, around the area between the Swazi borders and Mozambique. So we, maybe it was a way of respecting them, not to call them illegal foreigners, but yes, in fact, they are these illegal foreigners. A pilot was done. However, it just covered, say, three wards in Komazi and another three wards in the Bushbuckridge area. But from the estate, you realize that there are quite a number of people that are without those documents. In terms of the 40% people that are illiterate, they did a terminology that's used by the state of South Africa, which is misleading. Most of those people can operate cell phones, like Gogo. They can only, you know, be able to receive, because you can show where to receive, and they can receive. But maybe dialing a number, it could be difficult, unless somebody pages and help Gogo to dial. So yes, they can operate cell phones through assistance, some of them. But yes, we realize that it's a decrease in the number of people that are not literate because of the basic education that is also being practiced in the areas, trying to assist those that did not go to schools to be able to read and write. And you also find that some were appointed by the various departments, and all the departments have got this ABET system in their employ. They assisted those that could not in the past read and write, and they are now able to write. Though they are not given standards, but they are given levels that you have passed level number sorry, so you can move to another level. And the figures that we showed in terms of the PR applications are for the quarter, and we are trying to get some during the current quarter, which we approved. We tried many times to talk to Public Works, Chairperson and honorable members, but we're not getting the joy, even escalated this. We do realize, in the rural areas, they are currently building malls or shopping complexes, and you take Public Works to that area, and they want to people to tender. And at one stage, there was a tender that was issued. According to my report, there is a tender that was issued, and the successful bidder, the person that is not owning the property, but wanted to make business, you find such. But we do try and engage Public Works. Even with the buildings that we are occupying, we have very serious problems with, but we can't move you out, maybe to occupy another building. I did mention at one stage that with our HSU office, there's a butchery on top, and we are operating from downstairs, and as they saw these the meat, you find blood and the soul, what, bones coming through the cracks, and you know, defying, soiling your files, and the stench that comes out of that is unbearable. Officials were hospitalized and so on, but Public Works cannot remove you from that building. So we have these serious problems. In areas like Easy View, we went with them and viewed more than six buildings. Not at the same time, but at different times. They would come to you and say, now there is a building that's vacant. You go out there, but clinching the deal becomes a problem. So yes, we still have those problems with our networks. Jefferson, thank you.
Thank you, David, and colleague, for your presentation. And are you still acting?
I'm still acting, Jefferson.
How long now?
There are interviews that are away, I'm told, but maybe from there will be some changes in the near future.
Okay. I'd like to thank all the officials for your presentation, and we hope to continue with your good work. I also want to thank the honorable members who were here today, because we couldn't postpone the meeting. Our officials were already here, so we had to go on with our meeting. Thank you so much for being here. And we have a finger lunch outside. Before you leave, please have something before finger lunch. And all of you go well to your respective programs.